Well, today is a good day to talk about prayer, especially the Our Father, because it is the feast day of St. Romuald, who was an abbot, and he was from Ravenna, Italy. And St. Romuald had a sort of a conversion experience as a young man because he saw his own father slay another man in a feud. And he was so shaken by this and so disgusted by this act of murder that he entered the monastery. He entered one of the Cluny monasteries, but he felt it was not strict enough, so he eventually started his own branch of Benedictine monastic tradition, which we call the Camaldolese monks. And he would spend the rest of his life in prayer, penance, and solitude, and in founding monasteries throughout Italy and Europe. And these were monks that would live almost as hermits, but then they would come together for liturgical services. But most of their time, they would be spent in prayer and solitude. And he died in the year 1027. And what's very interesting is that when his tomb was opened, many hundreds of years later, his body was found to be perfectly incorrupt. So again, he's one of the incorrupt saints. St. Romuald, abbot, founder of the Camaldolese monks, and of course a great man of prayer, which ties in well with today's gospel, which is all about how to pray. The Lord said we should not babble like the pagans, who would continue to repeat the same prayers without any praying from the heart, without any really thought and meditation. They would just multiply their prayers and think that God would hear them for the sheer multiplication of their prayers. But Jesus says, no, don't pray like them. God knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. So the Lord gives us the what's called the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And this, of course, is the pattern for all prayer, because it includes the praise and worship of God and also prayers of petition, asking God for what we need. The church has always used this as one of the basics for catechesis. Any Catholic catechism is built upon the four pillars, the creed, the Ten Commandments, the sacraments, and the Our Father. If you look at our new catechism of the Catholic Church, those are the four main sections. So the Our Father, of course, is the greatest prayer. It contains everything we need as far as our spiritual and material necessities. And it's good to look upon this and to meditate upon the Our Father on a regular basis. In fact, St. Teresa of Avila said that the Our Father, if you want to learn how to pray, say one Our Father, but take an hour to say it. So that's how you learn to pray, meditating upon the Our Father, upon every phrase of the Our Father. St. Thomas Aquinas says it's a prayer that can be said by the smallest child, and yet a prayer that a theologian could spend his entire life, 80, 90 years, meditating upon and not fully plumb the depths of the beauty of the Our Father. When we look at the Our Father, it begins, of course, by calling God Abba, that intimate word of a young child for his father. And this was unheard of in the Old Testament, to refer to the creator of the universe as Abba. And yet Jesus says, when you pray, call God by that childlike name that a young child would call his father. Abba, who art in heaven, may your name be held holy. So may we always respect and uphold the holy name of God. We pray that God's kingdom will come. It's a threefold kingdom, the kingdom of heaven that we look forward to. We pray for the kingdom of God to spread throughout the world, which is the church. We pray that the church will continue to evangelize and spread throughout the world. And we pray for the kingdom of God's grace within our soul, that will always be temples of sanctifying grace within our soul. We pray that God's will be done. As you know, that is the secret. Jesus says it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, that will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my heavenly Father. So we pray that we'll do God's will in our life. on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how is God's will done in heaven? Well, it's done by the angels and the saints perfectly in heaven. It's done readily, it's done willingly, it's done lovingly. So we pray that we'll do God's will on earth as the angels in heaven are doing God's will perfectly, readily, and lovingly. We pray, give us this day our daily bread, which is all of our material needs, everything we need, food, clothing, and shelter. But also the word here is a unique word that's only used one time in the New Testament. It's super substantial bread, which refers to the Eucharist. Give us this day the Eucharist each and every day, if possible. So yes, we pray for everything we need physically, but we also pray for everything we need spiritually, especially the daily Eucharist, if at all possible. And then we pray that God will forgive our sins to the exact degree that we forgive others, that we forgive others' debts. We want God to forgive our debts. And we pray that we'll not be led into temptation, we'll not be tempted beyond our strength, we won't put ourselves into the near occasions of sin, but God will deliver us from all evil, especially from the evil one who is Satan himself. And then after the Our Father, the Lord reminds us that if we forgive others, the Heavenly Father will forgive us. If we don't forgive others, then neither will the Heavenly Father forgive us our trespasses. And the Council of Trent, in commenting on this passage, said that when we forgive others, we are acting like the Heavenly Father, who forgives us our sins by sending his Son Jesus. He says, in loving our enemies, there shines forth in us a likeness to God our Father, who by the death of his Son ransomed from everlasting perdition and reconciled to himself the human race, which before was most unfriendly and hostile to him. So forgiveness is a divine quality. It's a godlike quality, and when we forgive, we are most like the Heavenly Father himself.